From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his first message in a series of studies in the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews, the passage often referred to as Faith's Hall of Fame. The first message in the series is called The Activities of Faith. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. Before he comes, please enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is called An Expert Searcher. The text is found in Ezekiel 34, verse 11. For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. This he does at the first, when his elect are like wandering sheep that know not the shepherd or the fold. How wonderfully doth the Lord find out his chosen! Jesus is great as a seeking shepherd, as well as a saving shepherd. Though many of those his father gave him have gone as near to hell gate as they well can, yet the Lord, by searching and seeking, discovers them and draws nigh to them in grace. He has sought out us. Let us have good hope for those who are laid upon our hearts in prayer, for he will find them out also. The Lord repeats this process when any of his flock stray from the pastures of truth and holiness. They may fall into gross error, sad sin, and grievous hardness, but yet the Lord, who has become a surety for them to his Father, will not suffer one of them to go so far as to perish. He will, by providence and grace, pursue them into foreign lands, into abodes of poverty, into dens of obscurity, into deeps of despair. He will not lose one of all that the Father has given him. It is a point of honor with Jesus to seek and to save all the flock without a single exception. What a promise to plead if at this hour I am compelled to cry, I have gone astray like a lost sheep.
To receive.
If you've been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak broadcasts, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. The songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may simply call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Recently, Dr. Cairns began a series of studies in the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews. Hebrews 11 sums up the lives of many of the Old Testament saints with the simple phrase, by faith. So it is often called Faith's Hall of Fame. In the course of this series, Dr. Cairns will apply the faith of the various characters to the lives of Christ's people in this day. This message is entitled, The Activities of Faith, and Dr. Cairns is focusing on the very first verse of the chapter. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Before moving on to the examples of faith, we must understand what the Bible means by faith. As he addresses the activity of Christian faith, Dr. Cairns explained that to qualify as biblical faith, one's belief must be in the God of the Bible and in Christ as the Son of God. Then faith is called substance, that is, it conveys the idea of reality, of foundation. A third aspect of faith is its evidence, which in this context means a demonstration of the reality of something the eye cannot see. Moving on to the teaching of the text, Dr. Cairns will set forth five great truths about faith. First of all, faith sees. That is, it deals with spiritual sight, or the sight of the soul.
Here's the difference between backsliding and apostasy. True faith will never give up Christ. And the man who ever has been given the gift of saving faith can never give up Christ. He may be prevailed upon, like the famous Archbishop Cranmer, through fear of death, to deny his Lord in words. He may be prevailed upon by the weakness and wickedness of his old heart to give in to sin and thereby bring dishonor to the name of the Lord Jesus. But no Christian, no man of faith can ever come to the place of giving up Christ and pinning his hopes for eternity on anything or anybody but Christ. Faith is steady. It has in it that foundational support. So this word substance gives us the idea of reality, foundation, support, and steadiness. And of course, out of that, you have conviction, confidence, and firm assurance. That's why faith is a confident thing. Why? Because faith is reality. So often people look upon faith as being the antithesis of reality. That's how the world uses it. Faith is just grasping at straws very often to the worldly man. And when you listen to many preachers, you don't get any higher view of faith. But in Scripture, faith is not just grasping after straws. Faith is not just a vain hoping that somehow, someway it'll all come out. Faith is not just persuading yourself that it's going to be as you want it to be. Oh, I've met many people, and that to them is faith. I could give you many strange examples of people who look at a thing and they persuade themselves this is what is going to be, and having persuaded themselves of it, they say that's faith. That is not the case. Faith deals with reality, as we'll see in a moment more clearly. And faith stands steadily upon that reality. And standing there, faith is given firm confidence and assurance. Then we have this word, evidence. The Revised Version, and I'm only quoting this to show you again that this is a word that causes some problems, says that this word evidence means proof. Faith is the proof of things not seen. And in the margin, they put faith is the testing of those things that are not seen. Rather, I think it means it's a demonstration. It's a proof in the sense of a demonstration. Faith is a demonstration of things that the eye can't see. A very interesting thing came up when archaeologists discovered some of the ancient papyri, the ancient Greek writings from around the time of the New Testament. And they found that these were written in the very Greek of the New Testament. There's a difference between the Greek of the New Testament and classical Greek. It used to be that many fanciful theories were woven around that. But they found these papyri that were written in the same language, the same Koine Greek, the common Greek. Now listen. In those documents, this word translated evidence was used to mean a person's title deeds to his property. Faith is the demonstration, the proof of things not seen. Faith is our title deed to the property given us by God, but that yet we do not see with the mortal eye. This same word is translated strangely, or apparently strangely. In 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for reproof. It's the same word. And the idea is in that reproof of producing a conviction of heart. Now that's the word that Paul is using here. He says faith is the substance, the reality, the foundation and the support, the steady assurance of things hoped for. And faith is the proof and demonstration, the title deed, and the firm conviction of things not seen. Now let me sum up all that those terms are saying. You watch the text and you'll see the basis of this summary. Belief in God, revealed in Christ through the Word, produces a firm conviction of His truth. And on the basis of that truth, we fully entrust ourselves to Him. God's truth opens up to us the expectation of things that are not seen or discernible by the natural faculties of man. But faith confidently grasps the reality of those spiritual things. Indeed, faith as a gift and a grace of God is itself a proof and a demonstration of their reality. Thus, faith guarantees to us the God-given promise. It is the title deed of our inheritance in Christ. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Those are the terms of the text. Now then, let's draw them together very quickly and see the teaching of the text. If you understand those terms, you'll see that there are five great truths as to how faith operates. First and foremost, faith sees. I think that's very clear in the text. Faith sees. It's provinces things not seen by the eyes of the flesh. We hear about blind faith. That's a contradiction in terms. You may as well talk about dark light as blind faith. There's no such thing. Faith is not blind. Faith is not a leap in the dark. That's the neo-orthodox notion of faith. I don't want to get away off the track, but I'll take the opportunity to say this because the ramifications of neo-orthodoxy are found in new evangelicalism, and they're found even in some aspects of fundamentalism. We need to be on our guard here. Neo-orthodoxy will always bring the truth of God down to a contradiction. It will say two opposite things that are absolutely meaningless, therefore, and it will simply say faith is the leap in the dark between those two things, And I want to tell you, when people are forever suspending their soul on a contradiction, when they're always leaping into the dark and saying that's faith, they're going to be mighty miserable specimens. They haven't yet got to the very basis of Christianity. Faith is not a leap in the dark. Faith deals with the light, and faith in itself is sight. Faith is the spiritual faculty of sight. I think it was Alexander McLaren who once said that faith is the sight of the inward eye. That's true. Faith is the sight of the soul. Faith actually sees in the sense of discerning and perceiving. When God saves a man, what does he do? He enlightens his understanding. The first thing that God does after he brings a man under conviction and he's bringing him into salvation is he illuminates the understanding, and then he renews the will. That's regeneration. When he gives light, he has to do something else. What good is it if you have a blind man, you bring him into a room and say, don't worry, I'm going to switch the light on. What good is that to him? He'll still stumble. He still can't see anything. Light is useless in itself to a blind man. And the light of revelation, the light of truth, in and of itself can only leave a sinner in the darkness unless with the revelation of the truth God gives the sinner sight to see the light. And that's what he does when he regenerates. He gives us light, that's the truth, but he gives us sight to see the light. That is the gift of saving faith. Faith is sight to see the light. It sees. Now that means it's dealing with reality. I want to emphasize this. The things of God are unseen, but they're not unsure. They're real. They're unseen by the mortal eye, but they're real. And they're not merely unseen. Here again, bear with me, for I want to just take a little hammer and apply it to a very vicious notion that's abroad today. Faith is not merely that which grasps the unseen. You see, many of the things of nature are unseen. You've never seen electricity. You can't see it. You can see the result of it. You can feel the result of it. But you can't see it. There are many things in the natural universe that are unseen, but they're still purely natural. Faith is not what so many moderns are making it out to be. Faith is no mere tapping into the great cosmic forces that are all around us, that are unseen and yet very potent. That's the world's notion of faith. And unfortunately, that's what has come to be respectable, even in so-called Christianity. When you listen to so many of the charismatics, when you listen to them talk about releasing their faith, and through this particular faith of theirs, when they are fulfilling themselves and they are getting into tune with their surroundings and all the rest of it, when you listen to them, what they are talking about is a faith that merely taps the cosmic forces around about them. And in that, they are no better than the Shirley MacLeans of this world and the other devilish heretics who are out to lead people astray. No better. Faith is much more than that. Faith always deals with the supernatural. Remember that.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.